Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance, with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance, neath the cover of October skies. With all the leaves on the
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Great to have you here. This heaviest travel day of the year, the day before Thanksgiving. We've got all kinds of stuff going on, and you want the good news? Gas prices are coming down. It's a holiday. You get to eat tomorrow, so that's the good news. That's about all. Unfortunately, that's about all the good I have. Actually, there's obviously a lot of good news, and if you're healthy, that's good news. But from an economy standpoint, from a worldwide standpoint, I think it's pretty scary out there now. It's interesting. As you look what's going on, and we continue to hear the terror and things that are going on, and everything, of course, relates back to ISIS and who blames them. I mean, that is the story. But yesterday I did Varney, and, you know, the markets themselves could care less. And one of the things you have to recognize as an investor, as a human being, as a trader, it doesn't matter. When the markets are open, they don't sell off until they're ready. And you can have all the terror in the world, but if the markets aren't ready to go down, they're not going down. And I said on Varney yesterday, I said, you know, people are afraid, but the market, you know, a lot of money has been made on the backs of poor people. And I don't mean poor as in economic. I mean, you know, people that have been killed, wars, whatever. A lot of money has been made in those circumstances. And the emotional fear you feel, with good reason, by the way, is one thing. But when it comes to making money, the guys that make the money aren't going to worry about anything because they're there to make the money. It's like, you know, make the donuts or making the money. But I did find it interesting, as a 36-year member of the exchanges, it was the first time ever that I was actually had to see my ID. Okay. Now they know me. They see me every day, but they had to see my ID, and they're on heightened security. And you're going to see that at airports. You're going to see that everywhere. And that is the scary part of life right now, is what's going on. Forget about the markets for a little while, but what's going on in the world? Because again, you never know where you're going to be when somebody gets a little goofy, right? That's the more of the problem. That's more the concern that I have as a person and as a human, okay, on this, especially, you know, listen, it's never good, but especially the holiday, people are traveling to see family. But the overall markets, I mean, you know, yesterday we're down early on the news of the Turkey bombing a Russian plane. And then the markets actually rallied. And I thought when they broke this second time in the morning, I thought that was really a sign that maybe they were going to go lower. And of course, then they took off and made new highs. So what are we learning from this experience is that the markets aren't ready to go down yet. So I can give you all the reasons that I believe that they should go down. But until they're ready, and this is one of the things that you have to understand as a trader and as an investor, is not try to be the guy who picks the absolute top or the absolute bottom. You want to wait for opportunities. That's really what you have for you, okay? You want to wait for the opportunity that shows itself. Don't try to squeeze or make every dime in a market, because you're never going to get there. And if you ever do it once, you're going to think you do it all the time, and then you're going to be really in a mess. So when we look around, we see Donald Trump gaining in the polls, right? And look, the world, the country is searching for somebody like Donald Trump. Now, I'm not saying he's the guy. Maybe they're searching for me, Bubba, because I'm going to get back in the race too. But in all seriousness, the people are tired of the same crap. And the way that our president today, okay, and again, I don't blame him for everything. I just want to make that clear. I don't like him. That's clear. Okay, I don't agree with his politics. That's clear. But the big the thing I'm really talking about, though, is I don't like his stance and how he's handling the terrorists. Okay, now I believe that we should go kill him. And not only do I believe that, but everybody in the armed forces believes it, and every general believes it. Everybody but the guy who has to make the final decision believes it. And that's what's even scarier, because I think that Russia is going to come out looking like the hero here and regain a lot of that strength and power that they lost, because they're becoming much friendlier with France right now. They're becoming involved. They're going out and doing the things that need to be done. Where's our guy? That's what I want to know. That's the problem that I have with this whole thing, is where's my guy? Where is he? You know, is he hiding under the carpet again? You know, that's the problem. See, this is where, you know, when you're the president or you're the leader, at some point you got to make the tough decision. And I don't know why he's so afraid to make the tough decision. Of course, we're kind of used to that, because our Fed people, they can't make the tough decision either. Okay, so those are, you know, those are the problems in the country. And I think that people are finally recognizing that maybe the old establishment or political people are not the people we want to run our country. Okay, now again, I'm not saying that that's for sure. And listen, we're a long way from next year when the actual real election is, but they do start in February. But obviously the politicking never stops. But really, you could make a case that people are tired of political correctness. People are tired of being afraid to step on somebody's toes. People are tired of all this crap. People are tired of, you know, everybody telling them how good the economy is. When they look on their own, they're not doing so well. So there's a lot of things to look at here. But of course, there's also a lot of things to be thankful for. So, you know, you have to weigh, you know, which side, if you want the glass to be half empty or half full. And in my trading life, I always look at the glass as half empty, because I'm looking for an opportunity. And if I'm not getting it, I'm not happy. In my life, I look at the glass as always half full. And again, it just depends on what you're looking at. But I mean, really, you just have to kind of focus in. And again, we can make problems and we can make things that, you know, aren't good. And there's plenty that is not good. And there's plenty that needs to be done. But I do believe that right now the most serious problem is the terrorist. And that needs to be, and that does need to be dealt with, in my opinion. Again, I'm only can speak my opinion here, because I'm the only guy here, I think. But really, you know, the markets are not ready to sell off yet. So as much as you may be bearish, as much as you may be saying, hey, it should do something, and it's not, that is something that you should recognize, okay, and not be in a hurry to try to predict the next big move in the market. That's really more of what I want to talk to you about, you know, today. Is again, it's a little bit more lighthearted. You know, we're just more getting in the festive mode, gotta get ready and geared up to eat tomorrow. But overall, you know, again, there's a lot of things going on, and as far as the economy, they're going to continue to tell you how good we're doing. But you know, if you like those kind of numbers, then God bless. But I don't. I don't like the growth. I don't like the jobs. But at the end, it is what it is. And today, just for those who do listen to the Sporting Edge, the final segment today, we're going to talk sports and get ready for the Turkey Day and the Turkey Bowl and all the other stuff. But we've got Matt Demeter coming up, who's got who's a chartered market technician that just reads charts. That's what they do, and they read footprints. But the biggest footprint I think that everybody needs to read here is your own portfolio. You know, I've talked about this many times, and we sell out every time we make an official offer. We sell out of the class, and everybody loves it and comes back and says, I can't believe I haven't been doing this my whole life. And that is learning how to hedge your portfolio. All you got to do is go to thebubbashow.org or go to bubbatrading.com, and you can read about it. You can look at it, and you can see the cost. But at the end of the day, I'm just telling you, from me to you, okay, if you're not doing it, you're making a mistake, because you want to protect that money of yours. Anyways, got to step out here for a break. I'll be back with Matt Demeter. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it is time for our weekly review with our friend Matt Demeter from Demeter Research. And Matt, I guess the first thing to look at is, you know, we talked last week about how the terrorist attack might affect the markets, and of course it had no effect on the markets. In fact, the markets put in one of the biggest weeks in, I don't remember how many months, but I don't really care. I mean, I personally get tired of that drool I hear on TV because they're always sensationalizing the markets, whereas you just break it down to, here's what it is, here's what it looks like, and this is what we're going to do no matter what the news is. So you're like in a vacuum, and you don't want to be bothered by all this outside stuff, because basically the charts themselves actually more than likely play out for the news, of course, for sometimes the black swan events, which, you know, the terrorist attack turned out not to be a black swan event for the markets. For the people it was, but for the markets it wasn't. What's your take? What are you seeing now?
Well, yeah, I agree. I think a lot of the downside was captured on Friday. A lot of the news was, it wasn't fully in, but a lot of it was in. And then the remainder we got Monday morning. So we bounced all last week. That's what we were looking for. The charts were very oversold. Now that we've run up, they're very overbought. So now we'll be looking for a weakness ahead, but we're going into the Thanksgiving week, which is seasonally bullish. So it may not happen immediately. It might take a little bit more time to play out.
Now, you know, I know you're basically a technical analyst, right? You're a CMT and charter market technician, and, you know, and as am I, but we both know that historically this week is going to be, you know, most likely higher, and only because the basically you have 2.5 days surrounded by markets, and most people, most of the bigger traders will take off almost the whole week, you know, especially now, even schools have almost started to give off this whole week. So you're pretty much by Wednesday and Friday, you've got nothing but skeleton crews on working. And so does that affect the way that you look at a market at all?
Well, volume will be light, but price direction shouldn't be affected too much by it. I'm kind of predicting we're going to go sideways, do some sideways chop. And then after we get through the Thanksgiving week, we'll probably pick up to the downside the following week. But yeah, I think it'll be kind of dead, actually.
Well, yeah, I mean, now the only thing that can happen, and this is just my opinion, during holidays, the only thing that can happen is we can trade in what I call a vacuum. You know, you can get an exceptionally big move one way or the other, and I would think, based on what's going on around the globe, the only way we could go if we were going to have a big move would be to the downside, because I think the markets would only be driven by, again, you know, a black swan type of event that would create some panic selling. I don't think we'll see any panic buying here. I think if they were squeezing the shorts, they've done a pretty good job of squeezing their nuts off. So I don't know how much higher, you know, that they'll push them higher this week. Now, again, I'm not saying we're not going higher, because I think you and I both believe that the highs are going to be at least taken out, if not, you know, running through them. But overall, do you take into consideration volume and price, or just price only?
I used to take into consideration volume, but the more I looked at it, the less it mattered. I really just look at price now. That's just my take on it. I used to have a lots of volume charts where I could get into a lot of depth on it, but it really didn't seem to improve my read. But what I think, you know, generally speaking, is that, like you said, they're going to be on skeleton crews. You know, these big guys that go home, they don't want to have a lot of volatility for this coming week, just because they want to be able to relax. And, you know, usually that's what happens. So just using history, I think that's more or less what we'll see.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. I'm not, you know, again, I don't, you know, I don't look for, I mean, in my heyday as a floor trader, I mean, I'd go down and trade, but I would just sit there, you know, kind of waiting to pick off, you know, an unsuspecting broker or whatever, because you could make markets wider because of what we're talking about, that there really isn't much going on. And basically, I mean, we're really entering the end of the year as far as a trader is concerned, because when we get to this point in time, I mean, you know, after Thanksgiving, you know, next week is December, And after the Fed meeting, basically the trade is over for the year 2015. I mean, again, there can always be something that'll happen, but for sure, 90% of the guys that go away between, after the Fed meeting, after that Friday, which is an expiration, the last triple witching, and then pretty much sayonara for the year. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's traditionally the case and probably be the case this year, too. The way, you know, just I'm just trying to decide right now, should we be long or should we be short? We are at a, what I'm using for our pivot point is the German DAX, which I've been talking about for a while. We're at a critical level right now where we've hit the highest interpretation I can make of descending resistance in the DAX. So we got short right along this resistance. If it gets broken, I have no higher resistance that is anywhere close. So that's my best pattern right now is the DAX. And I cannot imagine Germany rallying without, you know, the U.S. doing the same thing. If the U.S. is plummeting, Germany's not going to be rallying. So my expectation is if we break above this line, which right now I don't think we will, but if we do, it'll be a very clear point. If we get above 11,180 in the DAX, we're going to switch from a short position, which we just put on Thursday, to a long position. So if that's the case, I'm just going to get bullish for the rest of the year for U.S., Germany, Europe, Western markets in general.
Well, I mean, pretty much all markets are kind of going in the same direction right now because, I mean, you know, again, you and I are both, I call them footprints, map readers, whatever you want to call them. We're just reading the prints that are left by the chart because that's what you do. And, you know, you're a little bit more sophisticated how you do it. I just look at them and I go, okay, this is where we're at and this is what I see. And I go, that's going to be the end of the day here. But overall, I mean, markets are moving together and they are moving much more together than usual because of the monetary policy. Would you agree with that?
Right. Yeah, all the central banks have the same playbook. So they're all talking to each other and coordinating their actions, I think. So they don't want to see, you know, the party end. Or if they do, who knows, if they allow the party to end temporarily, it's just so that they can come up with reasons to, you know, provide more stimulus, not raise rates, things like that.
Now, go ahead, finish your thought. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut in. Go ahead.
No, I know that pretty much was the end of it, but
I mean, do you think that they want
much more manipulated these days? Sure.
I agree that it is. I believe that it's total manipulation, and I think it's an event that they actually kind of negotiate out. Okay, you lower your dollar this week, you bring interest rates, and I personally believe that the Fed does not want to raise rates, nor are they going to raise rates in 3 weeks. I think that this Paris thing and this ISIS thing is going to give them the excuse to say, well, you know, we're quite not stable enough. But I don't think that they have they have no playbook. But in my mind, they don't want to raise rates for quite a while. What do you think?
I agree. I don't think they want to raise rates. What I don't think that they want to do is raise rates one time and then lose face by having to, you know, undo that one raise. Because I think if they do that, we're going down a path that will tank the market and then they'll have to reverse. I think they'd rather, you know, from their point of view, they don't want to be embarrassed. So I think what they might want to do is potentially have the markets fall going into December, going into their meeting and say, hey, you know, the sky's falling. Maybe we really shouldn't raise rates because, you know, you don't want us to, you know, the investors out there don't want us to. If it's not a dire situation, I think they're almost forced into having to raise because everybody wants them to and everybody expects it. And they've been talking tough about doing it. So if markets are way up by the time we get to their meeting, what do they have to hang their hat on to not do it?
I agree with you 100%, but unfortunately, we're dealing with people that are not from the common sense world or from the academia world, which makes it even more of a challenge when we look at what they're trying to do. Because in my opinion, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, but they have no clue. They are so totally lost, and their last thing they want to do is raise rates, which would actually be the best thing for the market. So when we come back from the break, I want you to get your opinion I say that it's the best thing that can happen, that they would raise rates and continue to raise them and let the market fall and go back to free and true price discovery so that everybody could participate and not just the rich. I am with my man, Matt Demeter from Demeter Research. Check him out, DemeterResearch.com. He also does some YouTube stuff you can check out. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here for a break, and we're going to come back and get some more information from our man, Matt Demeter from Demeter Research. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back.
To be cool. Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Hey, Matt, before you answer my question, if somebody wanted to reach out and get a hold of your newsletter, what do they do?
Just go to DemeterResearch.com. You can check out some of the market calls that we've made by video. Just take a look at the site, and you can sign up for a free trial. Get to check it out for 15 days. If you like what you see, you can stay. If not, no problem.
You'll like what you see because he does straight out technical research, and we're right now I'm taking him away from his technical path, but I want to also, I like to get opinions of people as well. And so, Matt, I say that the Fed doesn't want to raise. I say that it's manipulated. I say that let's let the markets fall. Let them raise, because if they raise, that brings everybody back into play. Because the truth of the matter is the banks themselves, the real banks, not the central banks, but the real banks, they need higher rates now, because although they benefited and got out of debt because of the free money, they're not making as much money as they should be making because they can't really lend out any money because they're not going to until they can make a bigger spread. So do you agree that the market should, that we should let the market go back to free trade and price discovery?
Oh, I think I'd love for the market to go back to free price discovery. I think a lot of people are frustrated. You know, a lot of professional investors are frustrated with this constant manipulation. It doesn't feel free. It just feels like it's a rigged game, and it is. And we'd like to just go back to normal and let the chips fall where they may. It will be interesting to see what the Fed does, whether they raise or not. I'll tell you this. The big banks are betting heavily against the dollar right now. And so that would tell me probably rates are not going a lot higher, short-term rates.
Now, when you say the banks are betting against the dollar, what are they doing to bet against the dollar?
So if you look at commitment of traders report and you look in the futures market, they are heavy short U.S. dollar futures. So for every contract they are short, for every contract they are long, they are short 20 contracts. So it's a 20-to-1 ratio of how short they are. If you look at euro, it's 5-to-1. So they're 5-to-1 long euro. So they're betting higher euro, lower dollar. And if you look at yen, that's even crazier. That's they're 38 long to every one short. So basically, if you look, go up and down the report and look at currencies, you'll see that the banks are short dollars and long everything else.
So how is the dollar, with that being the case, and this is a good time for you to explain this, how is the dollar pushing up to highs?
Well, you know, they can keep, you know, it's this expectation of, you know, this December rate hike. So I think as we go into it, you know, maybe by the time, I don't know whether they'll actually do it or not, but I think by the time we get to the decision point, if they do it, I think that news will probably already be priced into the market.
Right. Okay. So you're
the market weakened regardless of whether they do it or don't.
So you're of the belief. So let's make sure we're both on the same page. You're of the belief that the market has already priced in an interest rate rise based on the strength in the dollar, and the banks are saying, "Well, okay, great, but we're going to start shorting the dollars here because even if they do raise, it's already been priced in the market." Would that be a correct statement?
That's totally it. Yeah.
Okay. So if they do raise rates. Okay. Or if they don't raise rates, does the dollar plummet from that point?
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of speed. So if they don't raise rates, I think dollar falls obviously much faster.
Okay, because they've already priced it and they can really put the hammer down. Whereas for those of you who don't understand, the United States has already got the highest rates in the world just based on the low rates of everybody else. We've also got the strongest currency because of the currency wars that are going on, and we refuse to try to push down any further. Now, it doesn't mean that we won't, and I still believe there's probably another program coming out. Instead of an interest rate rise, I think there's a QE program coming out. But all that being said, if the Fed raises rates, it makes the dollar even stronger. But what Matt is saying here is that they've already priced it, and he can kind of see that into the charts plus the commitment of traders. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. Also, I think, you know, this combination of the Fed talking tough and hawkish most recently and the ECB talking very dovish. They're saying, you know, more accommodation that we should see. I think it's December 3rd or 4th when they talk. And then we're later in the month. So I think there's, you know, these expectations are already being built up. And by the time we get to the news events, they'll unravel the other direction.
Right. Because again, and explain that, Matt, you know, it's interesting because, you know, we talk about it all the time. Markets have expectations and they price in a lot of stuff well ahead of time before it ever hits the street, which is why by the time the news comes out, it's usually old news. So explain how that shows up and how you see that in a chart.
Well, I'm just looking at it from a pure price perspective. And if I'm looking at the dollar index, it's really pushing on resistance. It's, you know, it's moving higher and it's one close to the 100 level. That's close to where we topped out before. The indicators are overbought. We're close. We're not actually on my top resistance line yet, but we're not far off. Let's say we're within 2 to 3%. So I'm seeing maybe 2 to 3% more upside in dollar, and then that's it. Then we should see a reversal. So between now and then, I think we'll probably see that strength, and then we'll see after the Fed, we'll see the weakness.
Okay, so you're looking almost under any circumstances for dollar weakness and euro strength. Now, are you looking this for, is this a long-term play or is this a short-term pop?
Actually, this is a long-term one, and I think that this position has been built up for a long time, this dollar short position by the banks. They've been doing this for a year, but we're at the high end of their short position in the dollar. Euro, you know, all these guys on TV are talking about parity. I don't see that coming. I don't think euro dollar gets to parity. There won't be this 1-to-1. Euro's not getting to one.
You know what? I'm one of the guys that believe that the euro is going under the dollar eventually. I don't know if it's going soon, but I believe that eventually the euro is going under the dollar. I believe actually the euro is probably going to be a busto one of these days. But, you know, you're probably not old enough to remember, but the euro was 88 back 15 years ago. So, but I'm not saying it's going tomorrow. And again, I don't make long-term predictions very much like you don't. I mean, you'll project out because that's your job and you know how to do that, but you'll look at one level of time. If I said to you, you know, where's gold going? And if you thought it was up, you would say, well, my next level would be here. You're not going to say it's going to 5,000 or my next level is here. It's not going to 900. It may very well go to those two levels, but it's not going there without stopping somewhere along the way. Would that be correct?
That's right. You know, I just deal with one level at a time. I agree with that. I'm not saying necessarily that the euro cannot you know, drop below, can't go to parity, can't drop below parity in the long term. I'm just saying we've got, you know, serious support levels before we hit one.
Yeah, I think 104 is a huge support level. Listen,
yeah.
I bought it at 104 on national TV, so I get it. I mean, again, I'm a one level at a time, just like you are. I'm looking at a chart, and I agree with you that the pricing of the dollar and the pricing of the potential move is already priced in, and I think what we're seeing now is more of a defensive move by some of these guys. But now, because we've seen such a pretty big spike in the dollar, and we're coming up to say a double top, and in the euro we're coming to a double bottom, that would only indicate that you're going to be correct, that almost under any circumstances the either you sell the dollar or you buy the euro.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, talking about double bottoms, this is one of those areas where I'll be interested to see whether we go below the lows earlier this year, because I think, you know, the commercials, when we talk about the banks, they hunt for stops. So if you were long euro from earlier this year and it was still on, then a logical place to put the stop would be at the low, and that's what technical traders do in every market, in gold, silver, which is, you know, they hunt for those stops in gold and silver all the time. But in any case, I think we'll probably go below the low. What was it, February this year? I forget. But in any case, I think we'll go below the euro's low. They'll take out a bunch of stops. They'll make the commercials, you know, buy, they'll be able to cover any remaining shorts they have and go even further long. And then I think once they have as many as they want, we'll shoot up. But that has to be seen whether that'll happen.
I could see that. All right, we got about a minute or so left. What are your thoughts on gold and silver? You've been pretty much right on gold and silver. Where do we go from here?
So in gold, gold did do that. It made a new low. It broke its July 24th low, which I knew the commercials were hunting for that. They wanted all those stops down there. They triggered them. Now they're actually neutral, which for the banks are almost always short gold. So now that they're neutral, that's actually a very bullish sign. So I see gold having a rally fairly soon. Same thing with silver. Silver, they haven't taken out a prior low, a major one yet. So they're a little bit less long in silver.
Okay,
it's less bullish in silver. Is what I'm trying to say.
No, that's fine. And I'm actually, funny is I'm more bullish silver, but I think I'm probably more bullish silver because it's so cheap yeah, compared to gold. And you can, not that it matters, because you know in relationship they go up at the same. But I like to do it. So, anyways, Matt, have a great Thanksgiving. This is Matt Demeter from Demeter Research. Always joined us and gives us his feed. We appreciate you coming on. Have a great Thanksgiving, man.
Thanks, Todd. You too. Have a great Thanksgiving.
We have been spending time with Matt Demeter, and he's a chartered market technician. And check out his website. He does great work, and he helps you analyze the footprints, which is the key of all styles of trading. It doesn't matter what you're looking at. Everything follows an overall footprint, and that's what Matt definitely preaches. And, of course, that's what we always preach here at the Bubba Show. We're going to step out here for a break. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we'll be right back after the break with our Thanksgiving Day football selections, because we got to include the Sporting Edge. So we'll be back right after the break with a segment from the Sporting Edge. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, as we look into tomorrow's football, right? We got to look in the football. It's Thanksgiving Day, right? I mean, we got to be ready for that. But as we do, we're going to actually bring in a portion of the weekend show, the Sporting Edge, so that we can talk a little football with our friends here. And of course, we know tomorrow we've got some pro games, we've got some college games, and for a lot of people, it's a big day of stuff in your face and watching football, and then stuff in your face some more and watching some more football. And as we continue to monetize the sporting world, and as the sports get bigger and bigger, they get more and more games, because, look, obviously the NFL and college football are not putting games on unless they're making money. So let's be fully aware of the premise behind all this. It's money. It's just like trading, right? We always talk about it. It's about the money. Okay, so they're obviously making money on these games. I mean, it started It used to be the Cowboys and the Lions played every Thanksgiving, and it was always their opponent. And now you've got a night game because you've got the NFL Network, and then we had college and thrown in. And, of course, it used to be a big Thanksgiving day. It used to be Oklahoma, Nebraska. Well, they're not as much as important, but now, you know, college has become so big. But anyways, so as we look around, and, you know, we'll talk more about the actual news and stuff over the weekend, but I wanted to look at the games for you. And, you know, Philadelphia travels to Detroit. You know, Philadelphia basically got picked. You know, Detroit's won the last two games in a row. They are home on Thanksgiving, and it's always a wonder. You know, it seems to me that the home teams have a little bit of an advantage on Thanksgiving Day because, you know, it's a holiday. You want to be home. It's a short week. The whole deal. The game of the picket, I mean, I do not like Philadelphia. I mean, Bradford may or not play. Sanchez may or may not be the quarterback. But I think that Chip Kelly is getting a little bit of a rude awakening to his fancy offense. Now, don't get me wrong. I think he's a good coach. And I think given the right players, he'd be okay. But once again, every year he's in the league, his quarterbacks go down, which tells you that the model he's running is probably not great. But if I were going to make an investment here, I would have to look at the Lions. They have won two in a row. I think they're better than their nasty, ugly record looks like. But I don't think they're very good either. I mean, this would be more of a, hopefully you'll sleep late so you won't have to get up for the 12:30 Eastern kickoff. But if you're up and you got a better turkey leg, I would look at at Detroit. As we look at the next game up is the Cowboys and the Panthers. Now, this is interesting. You got Carolina coming in at 10-0. It looks like they can't be beat. They look like they're unbelievable. And, of course, they are pretty good. Now, I'm surprised, and, of course, it is surprising when a team really doesn't have much of a receiving core, and they got Cam Newton, who is great, but they're, again, you know how we always talk about it, is defense keeps us in the game, and they're in the game, and they've won some pretty good games. Now, I think that this is obviously Dallas is home on Thanksgiving. Of course, we all remember, maybe you don't remember, but the Leon Lett game when Miami had him beaten and went off the hook, but at the end, I mean, excuse me, the Dallas at Miami. But at the end of the day, okay, here you go. You've got Dallas basically at a picket as well. Okay, they might be getting a point or so at some spots. But back against the wall, Tony Romo showed up and they won a game. Tony Romo showed up and showed that why he is the starting quarterback. And, you know, I actually like this spot for Dallas. You know, when you are undefeated and you've never been there before, you know, every game it gets tougher and tougher. The noose and the choke collar gets a little bit tighter. So me, I got to look at the Dallas Cowboys, and I will make that an official recommendation this week. And then, of course, the nightcap, the Bears, the wounded Bears, who have actually played much better. I mean, I can't take away the effort that they put in. They certainly have played much better as of late. But the beleaguered Bears travel to Green Bay. They're going to retire Brett Favre's number. They've made amends, and everybody's lovey-dovey again out in Green Bay land. And, of course, why not? I mean, you know, the franchise makes nothing but money. The Pack has really been struggling until last week when they beat up on a Vikings team that kind of gave them the game. But at the end of it, you know, we look at it and we say, you know, look, it happens. Remember, you're never as good as you look or never as bad as you look. But Aaron Rodgers did step up, and of course you can tell he misses Jordy Nelson. You can tell all the issues. But at the end of the day, I think that I think he puts a beat down on the Bears. You know, Forte's injured. Alfred Jeffrey's injured. Again, Cutler, I don't like him. But I give him his props. He's had a very good, solid year so far. No matter what I think about a guy personally, I can never take away if he's done good. And I got to say, he's done good. He's been very good in a lot of the games. But again, in any sport like this, you can't win it by yourself. And I think that, you know, the Bears have had some great games. They've had some classic comebacks. But I think, once again, I think they get their asses whipped here in Green Bay. I just don't see it. as the Bears coming in. And then, of course, in college football on Thanksgiving Day, you know, it used to be a big game, and I guess it's still a good game, but Texas Tech, Texas. They used to play the Egg Bowl, which is Mississippi, Mississippi State on Thanksgiving Day. But, you know, two pretty crappy teams that are playing. You know, Texas is a small favorite. I think Charlie Strong is, you know, I don't think he's fighting for his job, I think, but I think he needs to do something here. And I think that, you know, Texas is probably the right side. Again, this wouldn't be for any more than the turkey leg. I mean, the only game I like really on Thanksgiving Day would be the Dallas Cowboys. That would be my number one selection, and I would pick one. I mean, I'd like Green Bay if I was going to go for two, and Detroit. But again, I wouldn't get, you know, too carried away. I think Dallas is the play. And then just, you know, looking briefly ahead to some college football on Friday, because, you know, this is if you're a football fan, this is the best week. You get games Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then Monday again. So if you're a football junkie, you couldn't ask for more. And on Friday, you've got, you know, a couple of the matchups, and you've got you know, not a lot this year, not a lot of great games. You know, it's just how the schedule matches up. And of course, what looked like a classic game back, you know, a year ago when they knew the schedule, Baylor TCU. But now it's just another game, right? Because I don't believe either one of them are going to the, I know TCU's not going, but I don't think Baylor's getting to the national championship round either. Okay. And you've got, you know, basically a pick 'em game. Now the line is still shaky because I think they're still waiting to see if Boykin's going to play. But at the end of the day, you know, I think that, you know, they both have been, you know, Baylor, you put up 70 points a game. I can't get excited about a team like that when they're playing basically crappy competition. And TCU really let me down this year because I really thought that they were a better team. If you remember and you were a listener, last year I picked them to win it all. And then, of course, they lost that ridiculous game to Baylor when they were up 17 in the fourth quarter. But their defense has really let me down this year, and they've got punished for it. But I think as a game, I think in this spot, I think you got to like TCU. I think all the pressure is really on Baylor. A little bit of a payback game, and I think you'd look at the TCU Horned Frogs here over the Baylor Bears, because I think again, just there's really not much to play for. But if one team has it, you know, everybody likes to jump on a team when they need to win the game. And I think what happens, especially with kids, is the pressure becomes too great and they're not ready to win that game. And you know, that was last year. That was our logic with Mississippi and Mississippi State when they were ranked 1-2 in the country. And I go, no. They're going to find a way to lose. And I think Baylor finds a way to lose in this game, no matter who's quarterbacking, even with all the injuries. I think TCU finds a way to get it done. But that will do it today's Bubba Show, although we did a little bit of the sporting edge today. But we want to wish you everybody a very happy Thanksgiving. We want you to be enjoy time with family and friends. And if you're a football fan, obviously football. But more importantly, we appreciate you and are thankful that you listen to the show. Anyways, this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Everybody have a great Thanksgiving Day. And we will be on tomorrow. But again, I'm sure you'll be having turkey and enjoying yourself. So for the Bubba Show, happy Thanksgiving to everybody. And enjoy time with your friends and family, because we often too much take, we don't pay enough attention to them. Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you later. I got a feeling
that Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.